While they head downstairs, if you would, go ahead and turn in your Bible to the book of 1 Chronicles, 1 Chronicles chapter 16. We're going to start a little bit of a lesson series this morning, and we're going to discuss a very pertinent subject to the Christian life. You know, there are so many principles that we find in Scripture about how to live, about our thought processes, about, I mean, there's just so much that if we were to sit down and start making a list, I don't even know if we could exhaust it from Scripture. But there are some key important principles that are always kind of at the top, at the uppermost part of this, of that list, if you will, that really is important for us to understand. And we're going to talk about, kind of in conjunction, because they're synonyms, we're going to talk about perseverance and endurance. And these are important principles. Now, I'll state right here, right out of the bat, I am not preaching the fifth part of the tulip of Calvinism, all right? We're not going there. If you, I'll explain that comment here in just a minute. There's a doctrine that they have that is not really found in Scripture, and it's a dangerous one, and it is one that we have to be very careful about. But we'll get to that in just a minute. But before we really get into this, let's go ahead and start with a word of prayer, and then we'll get going. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you again so much for this day that you have given to us. And I thank you again, Lord, for all those that are here this morning. And I just pray that as we come to you humbly, that, Lord, we would receive some instruction and guidance from you. We'd receive some encouragement that, Lord, as we face different trials and as we face different circumstances and situations in our life, that, Lord, we would look to these things that we learned today and that we're going to learn throughout this series, Lord, to assist us, to guide us, to really truly show us what your intent is for the believer to persevere and to endure during difficult times. And Lord, again, I just thank you so much for your word that gives us this guidance, that gives us this these thoughts, that gives us these principles that we can use. Lord, I just pray that this morning you'd be with me, you just clear my mind, and that, Lord, only the words that you want and desire would be brought forth, that, Lord, all of this would please you, honor you, and glorify your word and your name. And this I ask in your son's precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So when we talk about perseverance, and we'll get to kind of a definition of that in just a moment, it becomes clear that as we go through struggles, as we go through temptations, as we go through the trials, as we go through the difficulties that occur in life, whether they are of our own doing or whether they are of something that is a test of the Lord, or whether it is a temptation of the devil. Regardless of whatever it is, these trials, we see that there are patterns in Scriptures about going through them. And there's multiple people. I mean, the first one that comes to our mind is probably Job. I mean, you know, you're talking about the patience of Job as it is described in Scripture. He had a lot of endurance and he had a lot of patience. He had a lot of perseverance, persevering to the end of something. Paul dealing with that thorn in his side, and we'll get to that because it's an important principle. When we think about other individuals that go through things, I think obviously the one that is the greatest example is Jesus Christ himself. I mean, can you imagine having to go through a 3.5-year ministry here on earth where people are just constantly rejecting you and rejecting you and rejecting you and rejecting you? You think about it, you know, obviously John chapter 6 verse 66 makes it clear that, you know, when hard doctrines are sometimes taught, people flee. And these are principles that when we look at and we look at from Scripture, we see that people really don't have a lot of perseverance. People don't have a lot of endurance. When I was younger and I was going through various different training and so on and so forth, look, I wasn't the fastest guy. I wasn't the one that was going to be, right hot on your heels. I wasn't fast. But I'll tell you this, I had endurance. So when the guys that were running and running fast began to slow down, I would catch up. Because I kept that, if you will, slow and steady pace. And while the others, you know, exhausted their strength, I still had reserves to continue to go. And that's what we kind of look at when we start talking about these things from Scripture. Now, the idea of perseverance, and when we look at perseverance, there's a sense behind it, which means to not give up or abandon whatever it is that has been undertaken, whatever has been started in your life. And what I mean by that is this, is when you start looking at those principles. Hello, Dennis. when you start looking at those principles, it becomes very important to realize that that perseverance is about not giving up. And the Bible talks a lot about not giving up. We're going to look at, throughout this series, we're going to look at several passages that talk about fainting. Now look, I don't know if anybody in here has ever fainted before. I've had a couple of times where I've passed out. And I'll tell you, when you go into an emergency room and when you are sitting there in the wheelchair and all of a sudden you just pass out and start sliding down, man, people get really responsive really quickly. they get real responsive. I mean, they're on you. The nurses and the doctors, they're like, and you get to bed really quickly. Okay? Because they're trying to figure out what's going on. And, you know, they don't want somebody slumped in a chair, you know, or slumped on the floor or things of that. But, you know, that's kind of our physical bodies in that comparison of spiritual that the Lord does. And he does a lot of comparison of physical to spiritual things. I'll tell you, that's one thing that we find is when you faint physically, that's your body saying, I give up. I'm done. I don't know what we're doing, but hey, you know, time out. Let's take a break. Let's hit pause for a moment. And your body just stops. So when we think about this, that's what happens sometimes spiritually. And I understand the concept of rest. And rest is necessary to continue to persevere and endure. But in this day and age, we see a lot of people just give up. Just give up. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, we're going to start in verse 7 here. We're going to read a few verses and we're going to get some application from this. But I want us to see some principles behind it. This is kind of, if you will, a little bit of this introductory part of seeing where some of this perseverance begins. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and in verse 7, it says, then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. So in 1 Corinthians 16:7 here, we find that God is showing that this is a song that David is put together for a purpose. And specifically, you know, there's a lot of things that are going on about, you know, these sacrifices and the ark and all of this stuff that's happening and that's going on during this time. And this takes up a majority of this passage. But I want us to keep in mind, first and foremost, that this is all about thanksgiving. This is all about being thankful for what has been done and what has been given. So keep that in mind as we see this here, and we see in verse 7 specifically that concept. And in verse 8 here is where it begins. And it begins with, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders, and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Be mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations, even to the covenant which he made with Abraham, and his oath unto Isaac, and hath confirmed the same to Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying unto thee, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when you were but few, even a few, and strangers in it, and when they went from nation to nation, and from one kingdom to another people. He suffered no man to do them wrong, yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Sing unto the Lord all the earth, show forth from day to day his salvation, declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, he is also to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in his presence, strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering, come before him, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth, the world shall be stable, that it be not moved. Let the heavens be glad, let the earth rejoice. Let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the wood sing at the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth. He'll give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And say ye sons, say ye, save us, O God, of our salvation. Gather us together and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said amen and praise the Lord. So here's this psalm. And while it's lengthy to go through, there is one verse in here that I want to focus on this morning about this subject of perseverance. How do we continue to persevere? How do we continue to go through things and not give up? You know, David is talking a lot about all the stuff that Israel went through. And obviously, Abraham has been gone for a few hundred years at this point. So we find that David begins to realize, hey, you know, we as the nation of Israel, we've gone through a lot of stuff. We've gone through a lot of difficulties. We've gone through the wilderness. We've gone through war. We've gone through famines. We've gone through droughts. We've gone through things. But the Lord has always remained faithful to the promises and the covenants that he's given to us. And for that, we should be thankful. And this is what he's telling Israel in this song. And I can just imagine the joy that David had as he's writing this down. And as Asaph is sitting there and he's getting the instruments all together and all of the things and getting all the singers and stuff. And he hands them this new song and everybody's getting excited about it. And this isn't, you know, the typical Baptist hymn that's being sung. There's joy behind all of this. But take a look at verse 11. Verse 11 is where we're going to focus this morning. Because this verse is a key principle in how to persevere. What does it say? Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. You know, we take a look at Scripture, and in Scripture, there's various different commands to various different individuals to persevere and to endure. We find stuff, throughout Scripture, in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, there's all sorts of stuff. And the whole concept behind why we're teaching this and why we're looking at this is for the purpose of edification of the believer. This is something that we need. This is something that helps build us up into the temple that the Lord desires it to be. Did you ever think about that for a moment? This is kind of a little bit of a side note, a little bit of a bunny trail over there. But in 1 Corinthians 6, when Paul kind of begins to give a little bit of a mild rebuke to the church at Corinth, and what does he say to them? What know ye not? And he says, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Did you ever think about that? There's so much that surrounds that little passage right there about our body being the temple, about the congregation, if you will, being the temple, about all those things. You think about the temple and the tabernacle. Well, what happened there? Was it just some architect that came along and said, well, hey, I'm going to build this. I know exactly how to do this. No. When Moses first started building that, who told him how to build it? God did. And you go through that and you read and it's a pretty lengthy passage. And with all due respect, sometimes it gets a little dry. You really got to dig deep in there to really get to that really good meat about all of those things and how they all represent Jesus Christ and how they all represent what He's done and all those things. But I'll tell you, it's pretty clear God had the architect down. The architecture of how that tabernacle looked was of God. And same with the temple. The things that were in there were mirrors, if you will, facsimiles of the stuff that is in heaven. That should just kind of blow your mind when you start thinking about it a little bit. You know, everybody makes a big deal about the Ark of the Covenant. Well, the Ark of the Covenant, okay, so they find the Ark of the Covenant. So the Ark of the Covenant got melted down. So does it matter? The real Ark of the Covenant, by the way, isn't here on earth. It's in heaven, where the mercy seat is. The real mercy seat. The one down here was a facsimile, was a typology. We don't need that anymore. Why? Because the blood was shed on the mercy seat in heaven. It was applied there when Jesus Christ died and shed His blood as the sacrifice. But when we think about it there, just for a moment, God had specifically ordained how it was going to look. And God specifically ordains to us what perseverance is really all about. And as I said, there's so many things that are in here in Scripture about this subject that I don't think we're going to exhaust all of it, but it's going to give a lot of, if you will, foundational principles to build that temple the way God wants it to be built in your life. That's the purpose behind why we're doing. And here's what happens. You know, perseverance in this biblical sense is a specific trait that every believer, specifically devoted believers, have. If you've been in church for a while, you know what? You've seen people quit. You've seen people give up. And let's be honest. If we don't have this biblical trait of perseverance, the Christian cannot fulfill God's will. Because in order to fulfill God's will, you've got to persevere and endure. You just give up, you throw in the towel, you abandon it. This is a life that the Lord gave you, and as you move through life, and as you move through this walk with Jesus Christ, and you go through some of those difficult times, you go through some of those things, there's a lot of people that are going to abandon it. And look, there's many reasons why people do this, okay? And that's not what we're going to try to get into about why people quit. But what happens is, and let's be honest, every one of us has had that thought. Every one of us has had that thought. And when we do not obtain and retain this character trait and apply it to our lives, that's what we do. Yeah. We give up. I'll be transparent. There's times I've just given up. Thank the Lord for His mercy and His love and His grace and His kindness and His long-suffering and His forbearance. Thank the Lord that He didn't stop. Because He could. But let's understand this. There's been times where we feel like just waving the white flag and saying, you know what, devil, you won. I'm done. It's over. There's a lot of times that we just go, you know what, I quit. I haven't had many jobs in my life because I'm one of those people that I'm a long-term employee. The current company that I'm with now, I've been with it in that organization in some way, shape, or form, even through all the acquisition and stuff, since 2000. I'm a 24-year employee with this company. My coworkers refer to me as the Kencyclopedia. I think they're afraid to ever let me go because I know where all the bodies are buried. You know, my exit interview would be a rather interesting one, I think. And I'm pretty sure it wouldn't be one of those simple ones. You did a good job, but we got to let you go. See you later. You know, they ask those questions. Is anybody, you know, done? I got a lot of stuff I could talk about. No, I'm not saying that to blackmail or any, I would never do any of that. But I'm showing that there's a longevity that's there. There's a perseverance that's there. My very first job, I did quit. And I did quit because I was being persecuted. And my body physically couldn't handle it. I began to get very sick. I don't deal with stress well. I never really truly have. I've had to find a lot of ways to deal with it. And I'll tell you this, I've tried the world's ways, and guess what? Marginally effective. You know what's more effective? The Word of God. Reliance on Him. So that's how I deal with stress now. There's a lot of it I just, Lord, that's yours. You touched that one's yours. and there's a lot of peace with that. But I say all that to say this, you know, I quit. And there was another job that at a certain point in time, because of just mistreatment, I quit. But I say that to say this, is that sometimes quitting becomes a pattern in our life. Yeah. We've got to be very careful. Because quitting isn't perseverance. quitting is an endurance. And endurance is going to be a major thing during the tribulation. I mean, you know, here in this life, we get tribulation with a paper cut, and all of a sudden, you know, it's the end of the world, and we quit. Read what the scripture says about the tribulation. Thank God I'm not going to be here. These people running around, oh, well, we might have to go through it. We might be. You can stay. I'm going. I'm going. Which is the way it is. But what we see in this passage that we're looking at here in 1 Chronicles 16:11 is we see that there's two things that he talks about seeking the Lord and seeking his face. So the first thing that we understand about perseverance is that perseverance is going to require some diligent searching. The first thing about perseverance is this, is that you must understand you have got to start searching. And you've got to start searching for the right things. The right thing. Because as we look at this and look at this passage, these fundamental truths that are here is that when we start looking at this issue of seeking and diligence, it requires some effort. You can't persevere if you're indifferent. You can't persevere if you don't care. You can't persevere if the mentality and the heart is one of, okay, maybe I'll do it. The other day I lost a packet of papers and I couldn't find it. And I was like, oh. It was irritating. It wasn't something that was super, you know, necessary/important because I could always go back and get a copy of it and things of that nature. But it still, it irritated me that I lost it. And I searched. I tore the desk up downstairs. I looked over here. I looked over there. I went into my office and this was my search. I kind of looked around and I'm like, okay, is it there? No. And then, you know, and then I left. You know what? I wasn't diligent. Because the other day I went into my office to get something else and I knew where something was and it was in a stack of papers and I moved the papers and guess what I found? And I'm sitting there going, I'm like, thank you, Lord, for the sermon illustration. I wasn't diligent. I didn't move every single piece of paper. I didn't move this. I didn't move that. I wasn't looking around for all those things. So when we talk about this issue of perseverance, there is this, if you will, this subtrait of being diligent in the perseverance part. You cannot persevere if you are not diligent. And that is what seeking is truly all about. Maybe you played hide and seek as a child. But then there was always the kid that just, you know, he really wasn't into the game. He wanted to do something else. So when it came to seeking, it was like, oh, I can't find you. All right. I can't find anybody. And you're like, did you even try? No. Seeking is diligent. Seeking has, if you will, this desire to understand. Because when we take a look at this specific passage and take a look at 1 Corinthians 16:11, what does it say there? It says, seek the Lord. Seek his face. There are some things that we should have a intense desire, a diligence to say, hey, look, I want to look at this. I want to understand that. You know, there are things that we want to understand and there are things that we don't care to understand. There are some things that people just kind of, if you will, they're indifferent about, and they really don't want to know. Whether it's they don't want the knowledge or they don't want the responsibility, whatever it may be, it doesn't matter. But they're just kind of, if you will, avoiding it. But when it comes to perseverance, there has to be a true heart desire to say, I want to understand the Lord. I want to understand His will. I want to understand His word. I want to understand His purpose for me. I want to understand how the Spirit speaks to me. I want to truly understand those things. Well, that's what it means to seek the Lord. That's what it means to seek His face. You want to find those treasures. You realize that treasure hunters still exist today, and they spend billions of dollars every year to try to find billions of dollars. And we hear about it. They find some shipwreck and they pull up all this gold. They find this, they find that, and they find these treasures. And they get so excited about it. Now look, understand, treasures are valuable to whom they're valuable. You know, again, there's the whole concept, and if you will, that adage of one man's trash is another man's treasure. And we find that with antique shops. We find that with Goodwill shopping. You find it with, you know, the concept of resale shops. Somebody's getting rid of something and somebody goes, hey, I want that. We had a garage sale one time and we had a bunch of that solder furniture. You know the solder furniture you get from like Fred Meyer and stuff? The stuff that's particle board that once you assemble it, you dare not even try to move it. Because you're pretty sure that thing's going to fall apart. Because as you were putting it together, it was a little rickety. And it just kind of stays there. And we had two pieces, very large pieces. One was an entertainment center and one was this giant fold-out computer desk thing. And we had those, and I can't remember if we drug them out to the garage or if they were in the house or whatever it was. And we had a garage sale, and I was at work and my wife was having the garage sale. And she said, you're never going to believe it, but somebody bought those things. I'm like, what? Really? And I'm like, okay, well, hey, you know, at least we got some money for it. And we got more than I would have thought. And this guy shows up in this, like, I don't know, it's 19, I don't know what year it was, you know, Chevy Love pickup or something like that. And, you know, it's pretty small, and he stuffs these things in there, and they're hanging out the back, and you can see, I could hear the suspension springs screaming for mercy, and they load those things up, and they're getting ready to haul them away, and take them out, and the guy's so happy, he's got these things, and he straps it down, and he drives off, and I'm looking at this car, and it's like, you know, its bumper's like this far from the pavement, and I'm just sitting there thinking, wow. It was valuable to him, right? To me, it was no longer valuable. It was just, okay, it was, it's junk. We got to get rid of it. Somebody bought it. Yay. Don't have to take it to the dump. But what is really valuable to us? Well, it should be the Lord. It should be His will. And I'm not trying to alliterate, but it should be His ways and it should be His word. Those are things that should be valuable to us. Those are things that we need to seek. And that is the key part of this perseverance. Because you cannot persevere if you are not seeking God. Right. You cannot persevere if you are seeking something else. And the reason we fail to persevere is because we stop searching for God. We stop searching His word. And there's multiple reasons why that happens. A lot of times people think it's unattainable. Well, I just can't do that. Well, as I've preached before, I can't isn't part of a Christian's vocabulary, according to Philippians chapter 4. It says, I can, not I can't. And it can only be done through Jesus Christ. So therefore, we must continually seek Him. We must continually desire Him. We must be diligent in that. Take a look. I mean, here it is in verse 11. It says, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. You know, there has to be an object of the search. You can't just search for nothing. And there are people that are out there that kind of search that way. You ever seen those guys that do the metal detecting? They go out there and they're just kind of randomly searching. You ever see anybody search for the meteorites? I used to know a gentleman, and he loved to do meteorite searches. You know how you do a meteorite search? You get a big rare earth magnet, and you walk through some farmer's field, dragging that behind you. And you walk back and forth and 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 back and forth. And you know what you see at the on your magnet after a while? You see a whole clump of stuff. You start searching through there, and what it's doing is it's pulling all that iron out of the ground, and you start looking at those little individual little things, and you find the little ones that are almost so perfectly round and got these little pit marks in them that look like a little meteor. You know what that is? That's from outer space. That's pretty cool. I mean, that's an awesome thing to think about. That's something that's extraterrestrial. That's something that's alien. That's awesome. To me, that's cool. I don't have time to do that. You know, aimlessly wander through somebody's field. But, you know, it sounds like a fun endeavor. And yeah, they're kind of searching for something, but it's in a generic sense. But this is specific. David says specifically, seek the Lord. No one else. No other gods. No one else is going to give you the promises that He's given you. No one else is going to give you the protection He's given you. No one else is going to provide for you the way He provides for you. No one else is going to do that. What do? You seek the Lord. To persevere, you must seek. To persevere, you must seek with an object in mind, and that object is the Lord. That's the main subject of the search. That's the whole idea. And again, the reason why we fail to persevere is because we wind up looking for the wrong thing. And when we wind up looking for the wrong thing, it never does what was intended in the beginning. It's just a make do. It's just a, oh well. But perseverance must be around the Lord. But notice this, that it's not only just the Lord that is the subject of that search, the primary. There is that secondary one where it says, and His strength. By the way, you can't find His strength if you're not seeking God. You can't take something from the Lord and exclude the Lord from it. Israel tried that. Didn't work so well for them. Sometimes we try that in this life. Doesn't work so well for us, does it? But notice what it says there. It says, seek the Lord in His strength. Now this is going to become a subject of you know, another part of this series. I don't want to get so much into it because there is so much that deals with the Lord's strength. But I want us to take a look at a couple of passages. And if you will turn over to the book of Proverbs really quickly with me. In the book of Proverbs, and in Proverbs chapter 24... In Proverbs chapter 24, take a look at what it says in verse 10. If thou faint, fail to persevere, in the day of adversity, when tough stuff comes, when difficulties come your way, if you faint, here's why. Thy strength is small. Thy strength is small. Regrettably, I don't necessarily have the same strength that I used to have a couple years ago. It's just not there. It's difficult. Trying to lift certain things or trying to do certain things, you know, trying to make sure that, you know, I'm careful and making sure, you know, with all the risks and stuff that's involved, you know, it kind of becomes frustrating. And I'll tell you this, when you don't have a lot of strength, sometimes things become frustrating. When I was in a very, very bad auto accident in 1999, we had just been married in that year, and it was a tough first year. You know, I got laid off from my job and got into that auto accident, and it was a tough year. And I remember after that auto accident, because I had fractured part of my sternum and some ribs had separated, everything was hurting, and everything was just it was difficult. And I remember we were at home and we were making spaghetti. And I reached over for the jar of sauce and tried to open the jar of sauce, and I'm like, handed it to my wife and she pops it open. Talk about being slightly emasculated. You know? But I tell you this, if at opening a jar of spaghetti sauce is your determination of a man, then I don't think you have the right understanding of what a man is. But our strength is small if we don't persevere. That's why we need to seek the Lord's. That's why we need His strength to persevere. You will not persevere if you do not seek the Lord, and if you do not seek His strength. Turn over to another passage. Turn over to Psalms, and take a look at Psalm chapter 18. We'll talk more about strength as we move through this, because strength is an important part of endurance. It's an important part of perseverance. Psalm chapter 18. And in verse 32, it says, "It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect." It's God. God is the one that gives us strength. And I'm not just talking physical strength, because this isn't talking about physical strength. This is talking about the ability to persevere and endure. And we have to come to that understanding that if it is the Lord that is going to give it to us, then we need to go to the right source of that. And again, people fail to persevere because why? Because they're looking in the wrong place. And they're looking for the wrong kind of strength. Take a look at another psalm here really, really quickly. Turn over to chapter 27. Psalm chapter 27. Psalm chapter 27, and take a look at verse 1. It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" And again, he's not talking about physical stuff. He's talking about the true spiritual parts of these things. And this is one of the biggest issues. A lot of times people fail to persevere and fail to endure because they are afraid. Because they don't have the strength. Because they don't think that they can get the strength. But the Lord says that we can. But you got to seek Him. And you got to seek His strength, not anyone else's. We have to rely on the most powerful source, and that is Him and Him alone, if we want to do that. If we want to continue on, then we need to go to a source of unlimited power. There is no such thing on the face of the earth that has unlimited power. Everything else is limited. The strength is limited. There's only so much. There's nothing that is indestructible. But you know what? God's strength is unlimited. I can keep going to that source over and over and over and over and over again with each adversity, with each temptation, with each trial, with each difficulty, with all of it. And never exhaust it. And so can every single Christian that is alive. And we would never exhaust the strength of our God. You know, there's only so much I can do before my strength kind of peters out. There's only so much you can do before you get too tired to continue on. And while we may go through endurance things and training and trying to overcome things, and there's a lot of people that overcome a lot of things and have, you know, strength to do that, still it's only limited. It's very limited. Going back over to the First Chronicles chapter 16 in verse 11, it says, "Seek the Lord in His strength." It says, seek His face continually. And now this is one of the most important things that we have to understand about perseverance. We cannot persevere if the presence of God is not in our life. If we are not in His presence, if we are not having that in our lives, we will not persevere. We can't. You know, we want God to look upon us. We want to desire that in our lives. We want Him to, if you will, give the approval about it. I mean, isn't that what children do? They're sitting there going, they go, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy, look, Daddy, look, Daddy, look at what I'm doing, Daddy." What are they doing? They're seeking approval. Do we pray for the Lord's face in our life? Or do we pray, "God, don't look, turn the other way for a moment"? That's not persevering. Persevering is having God's face looking at us in our lives, His presence. You know, it's pretty clear from Scripture, God turns away from sin. Yeah. It's pretty clear from that. And to have the Lord absent in our lives and absent in our walk means that we can't continue on for very long. We will fall, we'll fail. Why? Because there's no instruction. There's no guidance. There's no correction. There's no encouragement. There's no edification. There's no real rest. There's nothing without Jesus Christ. Therefore, you know what? I need His presence in my life daily. When's the last time we truly had that sense of His presence in our life? I tell you this, it shouldn't be something that is rare. It should be something that is common and familiar. It should be common and familiar. And I'm going to close with this. I know we're getting close to time here, but in that last verse in verse 11, which we're going to talk about. What is that? Continually. There's a lot of stuff that we have to continue on in. And that is part of the perseverance. That is part of the endurance. Because if we don't continue, we can't persevere for the Lord. We can't endure. We will quit. Because that's what it means to not continue. You quit. You abandon. You stop. You give up. So what do we find here? These things, the seeking part, is something that is continual. The moment you stop seeking is the moment that you will no longer persevere for the Lord. You will no longer be able to endure. This is just kind of scratching the surface here about some of these things. And as we begin to build into this and we begin to build these ideas and these concepts about what real perseverance looks like, this is the principal start and the foundation part. And I'll summarize it with this. If God is not part of your life, you will never persevere for anything. You just won't. God must be there. Let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, again, I thank you for the time. Thank you again for all that you've given to us. And I pray, Lord, that we would just take these things that we've learned and heard this morning, Lord, and use them in such a way that we will continue on living for you, walking in your paths, seeking diligently you, your strength, and your face in our life. Lord, again, I just thank you for those that are here and pray you just continue to guide, direct, and speak to us during this 11 o'clock hour. And this I ask and pray in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.